Honoring the magic, miracles, and mysteries of my parents, Ulysses and Clarice. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter, and this is Sex and the Struggle, Exploring Intimacy. And my sister Tazima Davis is already on, and we're going to get it in right away. I cannot wait to see this sister next week. I'm going to see Tazima next Sunday. Sunday the 19th, Sex and the Struggle is going down. Chester, Pennsylvania, MJ Free Theater at 2 p.m. If you have not gotten your ticket yet, you want to get those tickets because this is going to be an epic event. Me and my sister Tazima, along with people like Tony Rulo, and I got Rena J, I got Alicia Gonzalez, I got a number of people who are going to rock the fucking house, and Tazima rocks the house. What's up, Tazima?
Good morning. We are.
It is.
I'm excited because I really like causing trouble.
You sound like such a little bad girl. I'm talking to this little girl. I feel like you threw me right back in the third grade, Tazima. I thought of one thing right away.
Let's
in third grade.
Mischief.
Yeah, here
yeah.
we go. What's up, sis?
Hey, I'm actually really, I'm super pumped today, not only because the actual live event of Sex and the Struggle is nine days
away
or something.
9 days away.
So it's on Sunday. Yeah, 9 days. So that's that's pretty fun. I'm super pumped about it. And I it's funny because I have a lot. When I say a few, I mean a lot of woo-woo friends, you know. And so when I say sex is God, they're like, or God is sex, they hear it as goddess sex.
That's right.
Oh, goddess sex. Okay, cool. They're like, yeah. Like, it's no controversy. And then even when I say goddess sex, they're like, yeah, duh.
Tell me something I didn't know, right?
Right. They're like, duh. But I do have a couple of, posted on Facebook, and I was like, you know, God is sex. And then one of my friends who is a wonderfully Christian woman, I love her and respect her a lot. And she and I worked together when I first became an entrepreneur. But she said that God can't be reduced to mere flesh. And I was like, it happens all the time. It's happening now. God is somewhere else. God is in us. So anyway, I'm sure that is going to be some stuff that's going to come up. Cool.
Hey, Tazima, what is mere flesh anyway? I don't think I understand the whole mere flesh thing. I've never seen flesh in a mere, you know, reductionist kind of way. Yeah, I don't get that.
Flesh is pretty fucking amazing if you hadn't noticed, number one.
Holy as fuck,
exactly. Not only that, but the magic of conception is beautiful. It's gorgeous. I don't think I've mentioned it on this show yet, but there is literally at the point of conception where the sperm is, you know, men like to say that the sperm penetrates the egg. Actually, the egg chooses the sperm that the egg wants. The egg will choose the sperm. If there's sperm competition inside of a woman's body, the man that she loves the most get the baby. Like, that was the one that she has most attraction to. Even if a woman has had sex with 2-3 different dudes in the same time period, there's sperm of 2 or 3 different dudes while she's ovulating. It will pick the one she has the most emotional attraction to. And not only that, but they're at the point of conception where the egg and the sperm are joined, there is a spark of light. It's called the zinc spark. Look it up. It's pretty freaking awesome. They have some videos of it in Petri dishes. It's fucking amazing.
I'm going to go look at one now.
Yeah, mere flesh. That's what mere flesh does. Yeah, do it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You are. You know, you already started some damn trouble. Like, you know, you kill me. You be trying to act all polite and shit, and I'm like, I read you now. I get you. You know, you got this sarcastic shit going on. Like, yeah, run till that.
Right. How about that?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it today, because I made the title, and I was fighting with myself about the title of today's show, is Making Arguments Sexy. And people think that the best relationships are argument-free. People think that the best sex is bumble-free, like no one farts, no one does anything weird, it's just smooth and effortless and hot and passionate. People think that the best marriages are just where everything goes well and there's no conflict, you know. So, and if you think about when something is perfect, when things are perfect, I mean, think about like a perfect day, like, or a perfect, you know, the sun is shining, it's
mm-hmm.
beautiful, you know,
mm-hmm.
put yourself in whatever location, it's all good. By the way, that perfect day is only perfect because there were some other days that didn't meet your perfection standards. Meaning, for example, as long as you're not in the Sahara, by the way, or some other desert where it just doesn't rain, in order for you to have the lush greenery around you, it had to have rained, and probably hard. Someone told a story specifically about the sequoia trees on
right.
the West Coast. They're massive. If you haven't seen them, they're massive. I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. Like, you can't even understand it. And I was around some of the babies. You know, I wasn't even at the big ones. I was in the little ones in Oakland. It was fascinating. And apparently it takes forest fires or, like, some really, like, harsh trauma to the seed in order to crack the seeds open so that they can make new sequoias. It's fascinating.
I'm following you. I'm right with it with you. Go ahead.
So stay with me. So
uh-huh.
in a relationship, as we talk about intimacy, as we talk about relationships, our arguments and the conflict that we have in relationship is actually the shit that makes everything hot. And I'm not only talking about makeup sex, because frequently the arguments that people have are arguments that are just straight up bullshit and they're not growthful at all. And then you have like the hot sex, and then like people get into abusive relationships or think that people who are abusers are really they love them so much, but that's really just the drama. I'm not talking about dramatic ass abusive relationships. That's not what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm talking about real conflict based on things that are important to you. For example, one of the things that I have been, so anyone who has been in a relationship that's long term for any kind of time knows that the person that you love the most is one of the people that can fucking push your buttons.
Mm.
Why
mm.
do we choose people like this?
Mm.
Why do we choose them? We're not choosing them because it's in style, because certainly we don't think we want to be irritated. But, like, we get bored with shit. And, like, sometimes if you really break it down, like, you didn't even want to argue with the person. You were just bored at the time. You were just like, I think I'm going to poke the bear now. Shit's a little boring right now. Let's mix it up. Let's fight about some shit.
You're funny.
You get emotions coming up, and then you're like, rah! And then you're like, wait a second, you're kind of hot, and then you like end up fucking.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Yep. Yep.
You know, so the point here is that we actually really loved the journey. We loved like when shit goes wrong, especially like I love road trips. Like, me and my partner, we actually love her. He's like, I think we need a road trip. We need some good road fights, you know? Like, let's go somewhere this weekend and fight about some shit. Because it always brings us closer together, because we're working together as a team. I might be nitpicky about something, and then he'll be like, hey, guess what? You're nitpicking. Like, I can handle it. I've driven before. Yeah.
I know this road, huh?
Right. I'm safe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my whole point is that generally my overarching statement here is that we actually need conflict in our relationships to learn and grow. And part of the reason we create conflict or we have conflict is because we care about something. There's something that we care about. There's something that we're fighting for in the relationship. Sometimes when we're being petty, we're fighting to be right. But sometimes there's, especially on those real big, like I can't stand you, you're not listening to me. The reason we're sticking in it, the reason why it's been, you know, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning and you know you have to get up at 5, like, but you're still at it, is because you fucking care and you want something.
Right. Right.
So I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to check in with you, Ulysses.
Well, I was just telling a girlfriend that we need to take a road trip. We need to do an overnighter. It's funny that you said that. I just got through saying to her, we need to take a little overnighter. And I totally am feeling this idea around pushing buttons and not necessarily, you know, unintentionally or intentional with a particular result in mind. But you know what I liken it to? I liken it to, Tazima, a good sparring partner. Somebody who knows, like, you know, I spend some time sparring every now and then. And people who know your moves can trip you up in a particular type of way. And trying to figure out in sparring how to deal with people who know your moves can be frustrating. You know, it means you got to come up with some new fucking moves. And
right.
The difference for me in relationship is that the person that you're intimate with a lot of the times is almost like it's such a reflection of you. We don't acknowledge that a lot of times. This person is actually a pretty damn good reflection of you. And so they're telling you something like a sparring partner would, like, okay, you need to work on your moves. And nobody else can do that but the person who's close to you in that way. And people shouldn't be afraid of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I actually feel like this is one of the things that people avoid in relationships. I'm coaching a group of women right now who are, all of them are single currently. One of them has a friends with benefits situation. Another one sort of, she tends to attract the, you know, particular kinds of, like, kind of homeless dudes, but, like, the regular dudes, she doesn't get the, so it's, she's frustrated about that. The other one is super jaded about her, like, her online presence and, like, how the guys are just, they're automatically sexual and, like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, part of the reason one of the core reasons that these ladies have been avoiding relationships is that they don't want the trouble of what relationship is. They want the nice part, but they don't want the trouble of it. And what I was saying before with the wanting, and by the way, I do acknowledge that my drones are working this week. They saw that you were talking about the road trip, so I appreciate you getting that part of my shtick. Got it.
Too funny. You know I'll be looking over my shoulder every time we get off the phone.
No,
I got a trench coat.
I just for several days.
Yeah, okay. I just bought a new trench coat and this hat.
Uh-huh.
I got my whole agent, my incognito agent thing
this
working.
Guy's,
yes, right.
Right. Right. So we do this thing of like avoiding relationship. I don't want this drama. You know, I don't need the drama of relationship. Men are this, women are that. You want that. And when you said reflection, that the person is your reflection, there is a way that this person is reflection. And by the way, the women listening will know what I'm talking about. When you get the three-way mirror and you're like, wait a second, all that wasn't back there before? what's that?
That's funny.
Where, you know, like, it's a new role and, like, a new sag or a new pucker or, like, whatever, you know. You're like, what the fuck? I don't have this kind of shit at home. You know, you go try it on, you think he's cute, whatever. You'll put on outfits. And between outfits, you're like, this is, you got to hit the gym or something, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The point being, as a reflection, oftentimes are their reflection of the parts of you that you've disowned. It's why you're attracted to them. It's why good girls are attracted to bad boys, because they want to be bad girls. They just they can't do it full time, you know? Okay, so the person who, for example, like I have historically had a tendency to not be spontaneous. You know, I need everything planned out. That's one of the reasons I'm such a control freak, you know, recovering control freak. It's that, like, I love, like, knowing what the next. But then I really don't love knowing what's going to happen. Like, when I really am truthful with myself, I really like to be surprised. I really like to be delighted by the new thing that might come up, and I didn't know it. And, like, there's no way that I could have planned for that. But life delivered it to my door, and, wow, what an amazing thing that just happened. That was so cool. So if left to my own devices, I would be, like, kind of a stick in the mud and, like, not – I would not be having much fun on my own. But my partner happens to be spontaneous. He happens to come up with characters that have, like – they have, like, little names. He does, like, these impressions. And, like, sometimes he doesn't take it too far. And I'm like, I'm not in the mood right now. But a lot of times, like, it will – some bullshit that I'm saying to him or bullshit that I'm thinking about or stressing about, and he'll just go into, like, his Indian man and will, like, you know, Indian man speaking Spanish, by the way, like, right. So I might be talking shit or arguing with him, but he'll cut into that. But I love that, even though I might be upset at him at the moment of being like, there is a way that it sort of gets into – stop that train of, like, suckiness. Okay,
yeah.
So even though he might irritate me and, like, make me mad, his spontaneousness is something that I really appreciate, and that I'm learning how to be. And people think that they don't like the contrast of someone being something different than that, but that's what we're living for. That's why you were attracted to the person in the fucking first place. You're there to learn about the value of that thing. I'm here to learn in my relationship about how to take things a little lighter. And he's in this relationship to how to take things a little more seriously, or maybe a lot more seriously. Okay? But we irritate the fuck out of each other because we're just like, no, you can't. Like, that's half of our arguments. No, you have to be more serious. No, you have to relax. No, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. Okay.
You know, Kate, Shazima, you think we can have him on one of the upcoming shows?
Maybe.
You need to lighten up. You
right.
need to lighten up and let him on
right.
his show.
Let him on the show right now?
No, not right now.
I'll see what I can do.
No, not right now.
Not right now. So there are, and there are other versions of this. There are where someone who is, like, more domineering is the person who's less assertive needs to learn some assertion. And those in particular can be a really hard contract to break. So I want to talk for a moment about contracts. So. You in a relationship tend to hire, and I'm using the sort of you're not paying them for like actively, but you know I'm using heavy quotes. Is you hire a person to show up in a certain way with you, so that you can keep doing your thing that you like to do. Okay.
Mm. Mm.
So, for example, I contract with my partner to be the clown. He gets to be like the hey, take it light. So that I don't have to play that role. By the way, my mother plays the guilt trip card. Like we had a whole funny thing. Ty, my partner, made a song about the GT, the guilt trip. And we played with her about that last night. But part of it is like I have a contract where I'm defiant of her. She does the guilt trip thing. I'm defiant. I ignore her call that I know is coming in as a guilt trip. But then, like, last night I just called it out. I was like, so, yeah, nice guilt trip. I'll come over and see you. But not, you know, I didn't have time to call you. I actually didn't have time to call you. But it doesn't mean I don't love you anymore. So I just directly spoke to the thing that she's, like, really saying.
Mm.
I know you want to know if I love you. Of course I love you. I literally didn't have time to call you. It's not about that. So I'll be over in a few minutes. But it's not because of your guilt trip. It's because I actually want to see you because I'm going into a big weekend. So you can just name it. You can just see it. In the case of the domineering versus the little more passive person, that they can set up more of a contract where, like, this person gets to be broken. They get to be sad or pushed around, and then the person who's doing the pushing gets to be in control, and so they get locked into that contractual conflict or that contractual agreement, and then one person gets to be, you know, really dreary and dismal as a result, and the other person gets to get their way all the time. And they think that's happy. They think that's happy, but they're just locked in a contract. Now, when that person who decides, you know what, I don't want to be this, I don't want to do this anymore. Say something happened. They went to a workshop. You know, they got some coaching from Tazima.
Right. Right.
You know, did whatever. They read a book. They listened to an audio book. They saw a seminar. They, you know, whatever. And they say, you know, I'm going to do something different here. As soon as that starts happening, the system or the contract gets broken, and then people start to panic, both people. The person who's being more assertive now and the person who used to be more domineering. Everybody's like, ah! So there is a come-up time, a period of time where you got to figure out, like, what is the new way of being that we're going to move into? So that's the part that's the most difficult, is the piece where you're like, okay, I see that this has been a challenge for me. Like, I don't like this. The person who's changing is the one who doesn't like it. And then as soon as they start shifting, just know that the shit is going to hit the fan because you're breaking the contract. I'm giving you all the background of what's happening here because it's not actually about, like, the someone using the last of the butter or the toilet paper is out. Like, that's not what it's about. It's about the dynamic and the contract that's been set up in the relationship in the imaginary relationship that the person is avoiding because they don't want the drama of relationship, which is going to be the drama, whatever the drama is that you're avoiding is going to show up as soon as you show up in your next relationship based on the contract that you've been unconsciously creating. So I've said a lot of things. I want to take a pause for you to see.
Yeah, because, you know, as I'm listening to you, Tazima, I'm thinking about the ways that people become theoretical, try to be theoretical in real time. And so let's say an argument is going on and there's something to be learned in the argument, and somebody attempts to take the argument and analyze the argument versus just be in the argument. Would you say that it's important just to be in the argument sometimes versus analyzing it and use argument time as real sharing and letting go versus analyzing time? I see that a lot where it's like, you know what you're doing right now is blah, 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 blah. That shit only makes you more angry, makes you more whatever versus going ahead and going through it. And then coming out of it, we can analyze that shit, you know, on a road trip. But right now, let's go ahead and have this argument.
I love that you're bringing that up, actually. That's a really key point. And I was aiming for it, and I couldn't quite get there, so thank you for bringing that in. What you're talking about is being in your head or being intellectual or analytical versus being in your body I'm not even going to say in your heart, because some people are like, I'm in my heart, you know, my heart feeling. It gets very wishy-washy, very sometimes very either sad or kind of anger is definitely not in your heart. And most people, especially those people who are being wishy-washy or woo-woo, they're putting the gratitude glaze on things. Well, I really appreciate what you're saying, but what I would prefer right now is for you to understand my feelings. Okay, you don't even understand your feelings. You're fucking pissed off. I see it all the time, and a lot of my client base happens to be pretty intellectual. And I literally only learned about my emotions a couple years ago and the value of them a couple years ago. So if you can break down what you're feeling inside of an argument, which usually if you're in an argument, you've been upset by something. You've been triggered by something, which, by the way, means that it's probably historical. I was in an acting class for a short time when I lived in L.A. I lived in L.A. for a short time. I only went to one acting class because I was meeting a friend there. But, some of these cats that teach acting classes are pretty deep. So the guy said, I'll never forget this. He said, if you're hysterical, it's historical. So if you're really, really, really upset about something to some place where you're, like, losing it, losing control of yourself, it's not even about what's happening in the moment. It's about something that happened before. And most of us are actually operating from elsewhere. And the real yummy, good, sexy, like, dripping, oozing, awesome arguments are the ones where you're completely revealing what's actually happening inside. It actually shuts that analysis down. It drops in like a chunk, like, boom. I feel really hurt by that. Not even I felt hurt by when you did this thing and that thing, and then you start stacking stuff up and making a case. Fuck the case. I feel hurt by what you said right now. Right now, I feel hurt. Right now, that pisses me off because it hurts. It pisses me off that you didn't hear what I said. I feel afraid that you're never in the future ever going to ever hear me and hear the truth of what I'm saying. Like, you don't even, those were four different things, not all a string of things. It's like, just boom, it's one piece. It's usually, and by the way, in my practice, I use five basic emotions. I learned that from the Wright Foundation. They're here in Chicago. They're an amazing organization. And I have found that the thing they talk about, the things that they share about emotional intelligence are 100% true, and I totally stand by, like, their methodology around emotions and emotional intelligence. Freaking amazing. So they have five basic emotions: fear, hurt, anger, sadness, joy. Every other emotion is like a combination of those emotions, or, like, for example, frustration is low-level anger over time, for example. Irritation is a little bit more anger, and probably the frustration also might have an element of fear that it's going to continue in the future. Okay. Sadness, for example, is a loss of a pleasure. If you think about any time you've been sad, it's because you lost something that you really care about. There's another book called Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. Yeah, Daniel Goleman. And he talks about the purpose of various emotions. He doesn't use the five different emotions, but he has a bunch of other ones in there. But he talks about sadness in particular is actually an emotion that will actually slow you down so that you can come to grips with what's happening. It's pretty much the opposite of anger, which is an action. It's like a vehicle to get you from pain into pleasure. If you think about anger or being angry about anything, most people's bodies get hot. They feel like a tension happen in their body. It's an extremely powerful emotion. So I say all these to say that your your emotions are huge. We probably need to do another show about that, but I want to just make sure that people get that your emotions, when you drop your emotions in, that's actually what starts that level of intimacy getting way deeper rather than analyzing. Analyzing it will never get you closer, but dropping into your emotions will.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you hit that point, because and you're right, I can see us having to do another one around that, because arguing can be sexy, and it's not important to make them sexy. You know, I don't think contriving an argument is sexy at all. I don't think analyzing an argument is sexy at all. The argument in real authentic time is sexy as hell. But don't make the mistake of trying to analyze that motherfucker while you win it. Shit becomes real unsexy fast.
Just dropping the old feeling.
All right, sister, we are officially out of time, and we got one more show before we see you get off a plane in about 9 days. So I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Excellent.
And until then, how do people reach you?
InfiniteRelating.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Send me a lovely message, Facebook.com/Tazima, T-A-Z-I-M-A. Thank you so much.
Right on, sis. I will talk with you over the next couple of days. Ulysses Butch Slaughter signing out with Tazima. This has been Exploring Intimacy with Tazima and Ulysses. Sex and a Struggle happening November the 19th, 2017. Tickets at sexandastruggle.com. Tazima, talk to you soon. Everybody else, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.